This is a Forwardly podcast.
Hi, everybody. It's Colin.
Oh, hi. It's Cadence.
Oh, hey. Hi again.
What if I just changed my name? Hey, and
you've already used that joke.
Have I really?
You already, yes, you used that joke.
I used the joke.
And then
life.
I used it against you because we weren't recording at the time. And I was like, what if I just started calling you a different name?
I guess.
Hi,
it's
Janice.
Tried and true, and it works.
Hi, Janice.
Keep making that joke back and forth.
Keep driving in it, drilling it to the ground, beating a dead horse.
Yes.
Beating a drilled horse.
You made it.
Okay. Well, how you been? Well, we've got something. First off, Katie and I are in the same freaking room right now.
Oh my goodness, we are. It's a miracle.
Which is
praise
so
Jesus.
Good. It's always better when we're in the same room because
we get those vibes.
We just
going.
Vibe off each other really well. We see each other's facial features move and read them.
Okay, but also we watch each other video call when we do it apart. So we do read each other's
yeah,
facial
we actually
cues.
See it. Yeah. But you know,
usually.
We're just vibing in the
I
same room.
I think it's more of like an energy. Emotional, like energetic thing. We're in the same room. We've got those physical vibes passing back
if
and
Katie,
forth.
If Cadence is getting low energy, I cattle prod her.
And also the cattle prod. Yes, totally. It works. Never works.
Yeah, so last time we kind of told you that, you know, we apologize for kind of going off the radar for a little bit, especially on like social media and stuff. We were able to go on our hurricane vacation to Mexico,
so
which was so relaxing. And then I ended up traveling to Italy and to Ireland. It was my first like international travel since the before times.
And we've had both like weird personal chaos in our lives that yes. has like kept us super occupied. But we formulated a plan and we are back in the saddle, which
in
is
the saddle.
Really fitting.
Ooh,
I didn't
yes.
even mean to do that. But today, for this movie, it's especially relevant.
Maybe we'll actually take some pictures together and not keep using the same ones over and over on Instagram.
We may have a little bit of new content.
We might do a little photo
also,
shoot.
I mean, I think we may have said this in the last time when we gave a little update, but we took some amazing pictures of patrolling on the beach. So you might see more of those pop up
oh,
as time
yeah.
goes on.
We took one really good one that I'm debating to post. You know which one I'm
talking
about.
I actually don't. We took so many.
Our little butts.
Oh, right,
we
right,
made
right.
Baywatch little, I made, we made little thongs for our bathing suits. Real cute, real cute.
I completely forgot, but yeah, ask the ass shot.
And yeah, right now, everything's kind of getting back to normal. Your kids are in school, right?
Yeah, they're back to school full days. They still have to wear masks and everything, but they haven't had any, not a case of COVID.
Godsend for you. I could not be home with your children all day, every day.
Yeah, neither could I. I love them. They're little angels sometimes, but geez.
Yeah, things are kind of getting...
We're all getting stir crazy.
Feeling a little better. Like, it's Folsom Street Fair in San Francisco, and anyone who knows what that is, you know what that is. But it's happening again, and people are out.
Lots
and, like,
of leather, lots of thongs, lots of
leather,
dildos, paddles. Lots of paddles.
Actually, it's really funny. I went to a shop today that I've been going to for a while, and I took my sister one time, and I was talking about it, and I was like, oh, I'm going to get these different tees, and she's like, oh, and they have dildos there, and I'm like, no, they don't. It's called Twisted Thistle Apothecary. Oh, I don't know if I can say the name. Twisted Thistle Apothecary. And it's
you,
like,
can you physically
I physically can't say it. Anyway, it's always tees and stuff, and I was like, you're so dumb, and she was like, no, they really are, and I thought
they're
she
crystal.
Was talking
they're
about-
They're made out of crystal.
Yeah, then she kept saying they were crystal, and I was like, I bet you see those wands, those court wands that are like square and awful. And I was like, that is not a dildo. That would hurt so bad. Anyway, long story short, went in. I found them. There's a whole case of crystal dildos in the back.
I told you, handmade crystal dildos.
I mean, they're beautiful.
They're gorgeous.
They're really pretty. I'm going to get one just to put it on display.
It would be a beautiful centerpiece. Conversation starter.
Just like a little, like you have a candle holder. You have all the different crystal dildos. It doesn't look like a penis, though. It
you
looks
could
like
make
a
whole chandelier out of those, really.
You really could.
That'd be amazing.
Today, we have got a freaking special treat for you guys.
I mean, this, I hadn't thought about this till just now, but this is truly on the level of Pennies from Heaven in terms of batshit craziness.
But the production was obviously a lot
higher. But the production value was higher.
So we'll just give you a quick summary. The movie is Bolero,
which let me just say that we had a plan, and we still do. We have a spreadsheet of stuff that we truly love that we've seen that we want to cover, but we took a chance last night and watched something neither of us had ever seen before that has really terrible reviews. And yes, it's called Bolero, starring Bo Derek. And it was, I do not regret one second of the 5-hour journey that Bolero.
It said it was an hour and a half, I think, but it was not. We were trapped in Bo Derek's world forever. So
it was inescapable.
Basically, it was filmed in 1984. Bo Derek's really the only major person in it. Mm-hmm. And just to give a real quick overview, it's about a woman, a young woman.
It's filmed in 84. It's set in 1920.
Yes. Let's be clear. It is set in 1920. And it's about a girl who just graduated from boarding school, mm-hmm. and she is on a sexual adventure because she's really preoccupied with losing her virginity, mm-hmm. to somebody somewhere. So it's
preferably
just like
someone foreign.
Foreign, tall, dark, and handsome. And mm-hmm. so that's the basis of the movie. And she gets in all these crazy adventures.
It's an erotic journey.
It is a very, well, I don't know if you'd want to call that erotic.
Depends on your version of eroticism.
So it's also a song at the end of Moulin Rouge. It's like an orchestra sign that I love. Maybe that was, yeah. Okay. So I think we were trying to figure out why that's called Bolero. And we think it's because for 1 millisecond in the movie, someone's wearing a Bolero style jacket, which is like a Spanish mm-hmm. short jacket. So real, real good. Everything about this movie is really good. All right. So without further ado, let's get into Bolero. All right, guys. So, movie, 1920s, Bo Derek, her friend. And when we say 1920s, it takes place in 1920s, but there's nothing style-wise that makes this feel like the 1920s. They did not know how to do a timepiece. Bo Derek's got ass-length, long blonde hair.
Feathered to the out max.
To the max. And her friend's got this beautiful, like, 80s style, like, poofy, curly hair. And Downton Abbey taught me anything, that girls did not dress like that in the 1920s.
No, it's very impractical. The whole thing, it's visually jarring. Because not only does she have long feathered hair, she's also clearly 30.
Oh, no.
At the least.
You guys, we don't know boarding school. We think it's either, even if you graduate college, she had to have been 22 at the young, at the oldest, 18 if it was high school. She, you guys, beautiful woman. Bo Derek, you got it going on,
you
but
do.
She is clearly 36.
And it's so distracting because
it is.
I mean, the movie is so insane, but there's just, I can't ever, out of the back of my mind, I'm like, she's supposed to be 18 to 21 and she's clearly not. She clearly is a mother of three.
I know, the whole time I was like, she is giving manic white lady vibes this whole time. Oh, full 100%. Wide eyes and lots of visuals on her face, like mm-hmm. real close-ups, and her skin is really tight. Anyway, we're getting too into the details.
We're getting in the weeds.
We'll show you some pictures.
The point is that it's visually, it's mismanaged. It doesn't look right. She's way too old for this part. Bless her little heart. She tried. And she's the original. I like to think she's the original Manic Pixie Dream Girl. They cast her to be just fun and crazy.
Spontaneous and always kooky.
She's
just full party girl. Like, full party. She's the girl that wears the sashes when the bridesmaid sashes the tiaras.
Yes.
And like, kind of, she is. She gives off that energy the whole movie. Yes. So the movie starts out, she's at a Valentino movie with her friend, and she's obsessed with these like
that
Valentino
black and white movie. With
is it Arabian Nights or something like that? He was in some,
like,
and she's just obsessed with that like idea of this like
a sheik on the sand in the desert with
and
his horse.
She's being, of course, manic crazy pixie and flirting with these guys, and then telling her friend that she's just like, I can't wait to be in the sand and lose my virginity in the sand.
First
in the
of
sand,
all,
sand, sand.
Okay, you will pick up. She has a real big sand kink. I'm starting to think her attraction is to the sand and not to the actual men she wants to do it with.
She does a total desert fetish.
But also, I can't imagine a less cool place to lose your virginity than sand, where it's just in every crevice. You don't know what you're doing.
Hot, sweaty,
awkward,
Moroccan sand.
You're just covered in sand and all your cracks.
Ugh. But she makes sure to tell her friend 1,000 times that they're going to do this. Like, keeps pressuring her to where it's almost uncomfortable. Uh-huh. And the friend is like, do I have a choice here?
She's like, we're going to lose our virginity. We've been waiting all this time. We haven't done it yet. We're way overdue. You're doing it with me.
Yeah, you're way overdue because you're 36 and you haven't had sex with anybody.
She's like, when I say I'm overdue, I mean I am overdue.
She's really overdue. So yeah, so they're at the movie, and you get the sense that she loves that whole romantic look. So then it comes, you know, a couple days later, she's graduating from boarding school.
Right. Which she's sensually, she's in line for graduation and sensually whispering into the ear of her friend, "We're going to go make love."
I know. When I said that she's a little crazy about it, she is. It's her graduation, girl. You're graduating.
Just focus on one thing.
And she is. And the girl's like, "Dude, we're graduating. Shut the fuck up." And she's like, "Penis is sand. We're going to have a sand penis in us soon." And she's like, "Girl, I'm getting my diploma." And they're also, because it's boarding school, it's literally like a castle in whatever. So she graduates.
But it's important, like from the get-go, you understand that she is just cray cray because she graduates, and then what does she do? She runs out into the field. So she's visually, like everybody can see her visually from any
this
part
is
of
after
the
after the graduation.
Right, the ceremony happens, and her first act of quote freedom is to strip naked and do a little dance for everybody in the courtyard of the school. She's crazy, guys.
She's crazy.
She doesn't care.
And she moons the dean or whatever, and he's like, "Ooh, my!" He drops.
He has a monocle.
Yeah, he pulls out his monocle. Looking at it. Me in high school when I had my monocle. I didn't have a monocle. Do you remember I had a monocular?
No,
half of a binocular to see the board because I couldn't afford contacts. So I know how it goes. I get his pain.
I literally did not know.
Yes, it was like half of a binocular. Well, because we didn't go to high school together. We were never...
That's right. We were close in age, but yeah, because you guys moved like right after I graduated.
It was really cool. That's really amazing. So I feel his pain. Regardless, she's really graceful at it too. She doesn't fall or trip.
She's not lurpy in any sense of the word.
Beautiful girl, but she's got a long, lanky body. No little...
doesn't quite have those... gross motor skills.
And she's like, literally, she falls down on a flower bed. And so anyway, like Cadence said, you get the idea. She's fun. She's crazy. She's kooky.
They want you to know from the outset, she's comfortable in her body. She's comfortable with everyone else seeing her body. Like, she doesn't care. She's got no cares.
So once this happens, there's the man that dropped her off in front of the school to be able to do this turns out to be her friend Cotton, and he's been their family chauffeur for a long time.
Their driver, right.
He watches this, and he gets embarrassed, and he comes to get her in the field, and she's like, "I'm so sorry, I'm embarrassed you. I'm just crazy." And he's like, "You didn't embarrass me. You kind of embarrassed yourself." sweetheart, I'm not embarrassed, girl. You need to look around. People are mortified. She's like, "Oh, I'm just being crazy." Everyone's like, is she on a manic episode right now? What is happening?
She's like, "Are you seeing how excited these people are to see my naked body?" And he's like, "Oh, babe."
Oh, no, they're terrified. No. What are you doing? This is the 1920s.
"You're terribly embarrassed. Can you ever forgive me?"
"That's not my position."
"Not your position?"
"No, miss."
"Oh, you mean because you drive that great big car, you cannot not forgive a person for something?"
"That more or less covers it."
"Because you drive the car?"
"Yes."
"Then I'll drive the car."
So Cotton is her family's driver. She's like, "Oh, did I embarrass you?" He says, "No." She says, "Can you tell me honestly, like, if you want to be my friend?" He's like, "Well, I'm your driver. I can't answer that because I'm your employee." And she said, "Oh, then I'll fire you." So it becomes essentially this conversation. They agree that she'll rehire him to be her driver slash chauffeur slash
world sex tour operator. I don't know, manager. And he's like, "Okay, I'll do it."
If he comes as like in a friend capacity, like she'll still pay his salary, but he's going to be more friendly and less aloof as the driver.
Yeah. So he's like also pushing his like 60s, right?
I mean,
he's
got
to be pretty old. I mean, it's like a friend father figure. There's nothing really. We were confused at first, but so
her father's dead. I don't know if we've already covered that.
Oh yeah. So that's what we're going to say next. So now the next thing she has to do is get her inheritance from her deceased father.
Right.
Because the rule was that if she graduates boarding school, she will get the inheritance. So this spiffy lawyer from Scotland comes wearing his little kilt. And they decide to go over that in the best place possible to discuss getting your inheritance.
Yeah, he takes her to a tree in the middle of a lake, suspended over the water. And it's like this, it's like, "I'm going to pass on like multi-million dollar portfolio to you here. where there's water all around.
I know, what a weird spot to pick to do that. He was trying to, I don't know, maybe she's just crazy. That's what she wanted to do that day.
She's like, oh my God, I just want to sit in a tree. Do you ever just want to be like part of nature and sit in trees? I do. I don't know about all this law stuff. I just want to sit in trees.
You're right. So she gets this envelope filled with anything. And this is where you get to know that she's a rich bitch. Because that's how she says it. Because again, this is the 1920s. And she's like, oh my gosh, I'm a rich bitch and I own the world. And I'm like, I don't think people talk like that in the 20s. Who am I? I don't know. Wasn't born in the 20s. Wasn't alive in the 20s. So yes, she gets an inheritance and now the sex journey begins. As Kate and Stein mentioned, she's obsessed with sand sex, wanting to do it so bad. So after she's graduated, got her inheritance on the lake with the Scottish lawyer, she's ready to party in Morocco.
So she invites her friend Kat, who she's been whispering in her ear incessantly.
And literally Kat goes, do I have a choice? And she's like, no. And she's like, okay. Yes. I guess I'll go with you on this sex journey. And so we meet her in Morocco and she's at this beautiful party, like Casablanca status, like totally belly dancers, the whole thing. And someone's like, hey girl, look over there. I think there's a little sheik.
A guy with, not just anybody, a guy with a drawn on mustache.
Oh yeah, this is a weird like Inspector Prevost. You know that show? The really popular one.
Yes, but I...
Perot. What's his name? Alex loves
Clouseau?
It.
Clouseau?
You're just saying worms that rhyme. Inspector Prevost.
There is a Clouseau, though.
Is there?
Yes. That's so I was like, is it the same thing? But no. Maybe
he's not. like a French detective, and he was like on... It's actually kind of fun to watch, but it's very like... It's like before Agatha Christie. Like, Murder, She Wrote status, but it's in... like 1920.
Tell me more.
Anyway, that's what his mustache looks like for anyone who knows. Inspector Perot. So she's like, oh my gosh. So she does the most rational thing that any crazy
white girl would do.
And she goes up to him and he's got bodyguards and stuff. And he's like, let her pass.
And he is, guys, he is hooked onto that hookah like mama's teat.
Oh, love he is suckling hookah. That hookah teat.
The
like
magic
crazy.
Dragon is what they call it.
And he's kind of like, have you ever done hookah?
No.
I don't think I have either. I want to say that I've been around it, but I don't think I've ever actually done it. Phoenix, Arizona,
there's
loved
hookah
the hookah bars.
Everywhere. I was just going to say.
And I think you only have to be 18 or older. I think I've done it one time because you can get different flavors. But do you inhale it? Does it make you? I don't know.
But that's what I'm saying is I think this is different. I think it's
drugs
it's
probably
because
hashish.
It's
duh.
The 1920s. And yeah kind of like the opium den that they go to later.
Oh, don't give away too much. Yeah, you're right. It's probably hashish. Anyway, like she said, he's suckling on that hookah tit hard. And he's like, okay, let her in. And so she sits down and guys, 5 seconds of the conversation, she literally offers her virginity.
She acts like, I have this gift. Like, I don't know if you're going to want it, but
yes,
it's my virginity.
Guess what? The gift is my virgin flower.
And he goes from high on hookah, like hooded eyed, to just being like, what? Huh? Yep.
Well,
first
he's kind of confused. Like, what the fuck is this bitch talking about? Because it's like they don't even exchange names.
No.
She just immediately goes into like, hi.
She wants to fuck a sheik. And that's the only thing she's
And then she starts telling him his sand fantasy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just really. And he's like, okay, this bitch crazy. But.
When she says the word virginity, he perks up.
Oh, yeah, he does.
He perks up. It's all fun and games and crazy until someone says virginity. And then you're like, you know what? This is serious business.
And he's also, I would just like to point out, like, he's wearing a chic outfit, but these thigh-high riding boots, it just doesn't.
He's got his own kinks.
He's got his own kinks because he's, like, laying down sexily with these, like, thigh-high riding boots and then a chic outfit, which is. And for those of you who don't know, because we actually looked it up, a chic.
We thought it was maybe, like, some kind of royalty.
Yeah, we kind of knew what it was, but. It's kind of the head of a tribe in Arab.
And you said also, it was an available man who was wealthy, like a man of status over 50. But this guy is like maybe 22.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing.
I think it said like, yeah, it was basically a high status person, almost like a king or a lord. So I don't even know how she knew he was a sheik. Maybe, because the Perot, duh.
Right.
Perot.
He...
I was like, how did she even know?
He organizes all the meetings, I guess, for the sheik. He's a special organizer.
That's his job, just to have...
All he does, organize for the sheik.
Manic white girls come and meet the sheik. So he's like Kaden said, once he said virginity, he just got out of his hookah lounge and he's like, tomorrow, let's go.
I have a plane. I will take you. We can do this.
And she's like, okay, see you tomorrow.
So they make a date and She's so excited. She tells her friend she flew over billions and billions of miles of sand. Mm-hmm. That plane rides. She's like, I'm done, actually.
She saw all the sand she needed on that little flight. I know she was in the UK. How far? It wasn't that. Well, it is the 20s, so maybe it took a lot longer.
Her fantasy is basically to recreate her favorite Valentino movie and see her sheik ride to her on his horse. And then they make love in the desert, obviously on the sand, in sand, around sand. Mm-hmm. And then always also sand. In a tent. Mm-hmm. And she lands. And he comes to greet her with his horse, but his horse just can't follow directions. And she's laughing at him. She's like, I don't know, you're a sheik. And he tells her what?
What's the matter?
I hate horses.
But you can't hate horses. You're a sheik.
I know I'm a sheik. I had an English nanny.
He had an English nanny? Oh, the nanny was all right.
I go to school at Oxford. I've been here 3 times my whole life. I'm a poet.
I don't like horses.
No, but even more importantly, what does he tell her?
Oh, that he's not, he's, wait, what does he tell her?
He says, like, I wasn't raised here.
Oh, I yeah. Well, that's what I was going at, but school. I wasn't sure if there was, like, a specific thing about it.
He had an English nanny. He was raised in a boarding school. He's a poet at heart. And so he's like, the idea of me being like a domineering, like sexy, mysterious sheik is not realistic at all. I'm just some wussy kid who went to a boarding school with a nanny. But do you still want to do this? And she's like, yeah, you're definitely still a sheik, so I'm good.
Yeah, literally, that's what she says. Hey, you're still a sheik, so let's do this. And he's like, it's the most awkward. There's no like, because again, we'll post some clips, but her movements are completely manic. And just imagine a white girl on Adderall, then she does a little bit of cocaine and just took 5 shots of tequila. Mm-hmm. She's like touching her face nonstop, giggling about everything.
She thinks touching her face is
sexy. Oh, yes.
So anytime she's trying to be sexy, it's hands in her mouth, on her face.
Lots of giggling, lots of hopping up and down, mm-hmm. tilting her head back and forth. So it's not a very like sexual encounter. Mm-hmm. A, it feels very businesslike.
Right.
Because she's like, I've got a gift. It's my it's my virginity. And he's like, I will take that. Let's do it in a specific place. There's no like flirting or romance or anything.
He kind of tries to kind of romance her, but it's disgusting. They're sitting in his tent.
Oh, well, hold on.
No, no, no. Not that part. Oh. I know what you're doing.
I was like, we have to take a breather before we get into that.
No, I need to emotionally prepare for that scene. When he says, your beauty is like a blooming flower. But you can only bloom once tonight. And so he's like, you're beautiful, but you're only going to be beautiful so far as you're a virgin. And then once you bloom, like, it's going to go downhill.
Yeah, and he's acting completely disinterested.
I'm like, are you really a poet, bud?
I know. You went to Oxford. Yeah, because it's like he doesn't really, even when he's like, I don't like horses, I've only been here. Like, he's kind of like, I'm over this. This is stupid, but I'm doing it so I can get my virginity kick. And it's just very awkward. And yeah, that's the only time there's any kind of romance.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So this is where the story really starts to take the journey of ecstasy. Which, by the way, she can't spell.
She tries, bless her little heart.
She tells her friend, like, I can't wait to have ecstasy.
Beautiful word, ecstasy. E-X-T-X.
No. E-C-X-T-C.
Let's go wallow in it.
Bitch, you just went to boarding school. Like, no.
She's like, I just need C's, get degrees, girl, and I got my inheritance. Thank you very much.
I put in the bare minimum. So,
get it, bare minimum.
Oh, yeah, because she took off all of her little clothes. So let's start this.
Okay,
you guys.
So you guys, we may be, feels like we might be beating around the bush because we like don't want to get here, but we got to get here.
Fantasy begins. Well, let's back up.
Okay.
It's the following day, and she's having a recap of this night with the sheik with her other manic friend as they giggle over orange juice.
Right.
And she's retelling her what's happening, and as she's retelling her, we're seeing live action. And basically, they're on the beach,
in the tent thing,
yeah, with the pillows. You just imagine like a hookah lounge, that's where they are. And he starts pouring.
She's naked, completely
she's
naked.
Butt naked, he's full in his sheik outfit still. They start kissing and she's like, wait, aren't you missing something? And he's like, oh, the milk and honey. So he makes this combination. And you guys, you just imagine what milk and honey looks like together. It's semen, guys. Looks like semen. And he pours it all over her.
I thought you told them to imagine, but you led them right there.
Well, I was like, if you don't have a good imagination, guys, I get it. Some of you might not.
They're like, milk.
It's semen.
Honey.
Semen. And what he does is he pours it on her naked body. He's still completely dressed.
Fully dressed.
And then he starts, like, sucking and licking it off her body.
I can't even begin to describe to you how disgusting this is.
Because he's not just doing it with his tongue, guys. His whole face is in the milk and honey. And it's, like, dripping off his nose and his eyes. Oh, and God. It looks like... So you're watching a man lap up what looks like semen off of this girl's naked body.
And she is... Her stomach is also simultaneously convulsing in ways that I think... Maybe she thinks they're, like, orgasmic, but
she's totally manic the whole time. So she's doing weird things. She's giggling and touching her face. And then there's this, like, 5-minute scene of his face being punched by her stomach reflex with milk and honey splashing in his face. And he's like, bitch, what are you doing?
I'm trying to lick this honey.
You guys, imagine pooching your stomach out over and over.
As you can.
Do it right now. Pooch out your stomach as fast as you can and suck it in.
Imagine
she does that.
Face. Making contact with your stomach every time you do it.
And he's kind of like, what the,
punch.
What the hell is happening right now? And Cadence and I were dying laughing because you guys, it's a weird scene. We're definitely putting a clip of that up.
If Instagram will let us.
Oh, it's too sexy. Yeah. It is too sexy.
I can't.
So she's recapping it and her friend is like, that sounds so amazing.
But
and then she's like,
womp womp.
Guess what? After the milk and honey, little fiasco, he falls asleep covered in milk and honey on her face.
On her stomach.
Yeah, because he's knocked out because she punched him 100 times with her stomach punches.
Because he goes, I need one more sip of the magic dragon juice or whatever.
Which is hookah.
Right.
Code for hooks.
So then he does, he's already high as a kite and then gets knocked out. He had very little to stand on to begin with, gets tummy punched, and then just passes.
That, like, what did he get out of that? He was dressed, everything. All he did
was
get
dressed.
Stomach punched and licked milk and honey off this manic girl's stomach. I don't know. I feels like both of them just... And
it
she's
was a lose-lose.
And then what does she do?
She's covered in honey in the sand.
Butt naked.
In the sand. She Imagine was probably, like, rolling around in it. She's like, yes.
I love it. My fantasy's
more
bad.
More sand will stick to me.
Could you imagine how awkward that would be, though? You're like, can someone bring me a towel? Can one of you guys that are looking at me bring me a towel?
Can one of
the sheet fell asleep on my stomach.
Right in here.
So sad, embarrassing.
Oh, man.
So she kind of lies to her friend at first, telling her she had this orgasmic experience, but then she's like,
also,
psych, I lied. He fell asleep on my tummy.
This is completely superfluous information, but she, because it's the 20s, she has fully natural vagina hair, pubic hair, and there's milk and honey all run down in it, and I just, oh man, getting that out.
Yeah, I just want to know how she got home. I wanted to know how the conversation ended. Like, did I would have just woken
him
up? How
do you get clean in 1920s in the desert in the sand covered in honey? How do you get clean?
I do not know.
So anyway, back to her friend. She's telling her friend, it didn't quite end how I hoped, so where are we gonna go next, girl?
Yeah, she's like, I didn't lose my virginity because he fell asleep. Let's go. Have you guys seen International Nasty Girl? She's the original International Nasty Girl from SNL. Dongs all over the world. London, Paris. I love it.
Watch it.
So do you live in Istanbul? No, I'm actually an International Nasty Girl, and my friends and I are doing every dong in the world.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
That gives me a nasty idea. So she
totally
really is.
Okay, so I don't think we covered this yet. Her friend and her, they're having this conversation where she says, like, it got real sexy. There was lots of tummy punching. Then he falls asleep. So right when we were supposed to consummate this milk and honey deal, he completely passes out. So I haven't actually been deflowered yet. So where are we going to go next, girl?
Because we're International Nasty Girls.
Yeah, they got to get that D somewhere.
Gotta get that down. Also, I love how there's also no follow-up between, he falls asleep on her stomach, and then it cuts to her talking to her friend, her International Nasty Girlfriend, and then all of a sudden they're just in Spain. There's no, like, how did that conversation go?
Did you
try to talk to him?
They came to an agreement, right? Well, I guess agreement's a loose term.
Yeah.
One
Bo
was
Derek
kidnapped
just is,
and dragged
yeah,
with no consent.
One selfish white girl making her
but
friend do everything
goal
she wants.
Was, like, to lose their virginity, and she just keeps ditching her friend. Like, she just keeps leaving her friend behind with Cotton, the driver.
Oh, yeah.
And so her friend's like, she's not at all like, well, how did your night go? Like, did you meet anybody? Like, nothing. She's just like, this is what happened. I didn't get laid. We're leaving. And she's like, well, the friend, Kat's like, where do you want to go? And she's like, I don't know, someplace like Spain or, and then she names another, I can't remember the
anywhere
other
with like tall, dark, handsome men.
And the girl, Kat, is Spanish. And she goes, hey, like, I am actually from Spain, so we can't go there. That wouldn't be very exciting for me. And she's like, okay, so Spain. Perfect.
Yeah. Selfish
just
bitch.
Just blows right over
that's
it.
That's true. So her friends, as you got, her name is Kat, and she did just leave her with Cotton when she's doing this whole chic thing, and she literally is the worst friend.
Ditches them
every night. But her friend Kat is really cute. She is from Spain, and she also is a little bit manic pixie, very giggly, very bouncy,
loves the gigs.
Very flirty. Like, when we're watching it, when Bo Derek leaves them in Morocco, she's stuck with Cotton the driver, and she's kind of like tickling his ear.
And keep in mind, he's like a very rotund, beefy, like 65-year-old dude, and she's like 18.
And Cadence and I were like, what is this relationship? I think it's supposed to be like this
fun and flirty,
like mentor, older man, but the whole time it was just like, and she like thinks it's really funny, the friend Kat from Spain thinks it's really funny to pretend that Cotton is her husband.
Yes, she thinks it's hilarious.
And it's so bizarre.
We should touch on the fact that Cotton's... Okay, so it's not like Cotton is just like hanging out and they're just partying and then Bo Derek leaves from time to time or whatever. And he's just like, I don't care. It's a party. Like, he's very well aware that this is a journey around the world to lose virginity. And he thinks it is just cute. He thinks it's endearing. He's happy to help any way he can.
He's like, oh, those girls.
So
oh, those crazy horny girls.
She takes her little plane to fly over the millions of miles of sand.
With the chic.
He's buckling her in and he's like, go get it, girl. Like, he is so weird. Like, he's so excited and happy for her.
He's
and I'm
like, get that milk and honey, babe.
He's your driver. So, okay. So, yeah, then, yes. Point being, they end up in Spain, regardless of Kat's protestations. And that's where we end
up. She's like, nope. I'm going to make the decision here because I'm a little manic.
I'm a rich bitch. I don't know if you've heard. I'm going where I am.
So, yes, they're in Spain. There's no follow up. Chic falls asleep. They talk Spain
all
the next
sudden,
day.
Spain.
Somehow she's with somebody, some high up there guy, because they're on these balconies looking down at a bullfight. It doesn't really explain it. It's Kat, Cotton, Bo Derek, and this rich Spanish guy that she somehow met. And this scene goes on for quite a long time because she sees a very handsome man doing bullfighting, and she's got her throbs. She's already set her eyes on this guy. And this is
where you thought, I mean, the milk and honey felt like top gross, top cringe gross. Nope. This is the whole, this whole storyline takes you down a rabbit hole of pure insanity and ecstasy.
And just a side note, she's bright red this whole movie, and Cadence and I could not figure out what was going on. She was me after the first 2 days in Mexico, after my pasty skin had not seen the sun in decades. And
it's
we were like,
rough.
We even tried to correct the color
we
on my TV,
for sure,
you guys.
It was, like a color problem.
Because it's very interesting. She's
bright red.
Like, it's so intense.
It was like nobody thought. I kept thinking, like,
girl, put on some sunscreen.
Just a little bit of SPF, a little bit of like color corrector cream, anything. Because in contrast to the other people, it looks cartoonish.
Yes, you guys, we're not kidding.
It looks cartoonish.
Full red face, full red sunburn face.
Poor Bo Derek. She got real wronged. she got real done dirty.
I'm sorry, girl.
Sorry, Bo.
So she's watching this very handsome man who looks a lot like a young Hugh. We decided because we kept thinking, like, this guy looks
he
like somebody.
He looks so familiar.
He looks like a young Hugh Jackman mixed with
Dermot Mulroney,
that guy from My Best Friend's Wedding. Mm-hmm. Very handsome young guy.
I love Dermot Mulroney.
So they're watching for hours. The thing goes on for days.
Oh,
and
that's the longest.
As the guy is going on, as soon as he leaves
she's hot for him.
Oh,
big time.
She's...
Like, this is... Just
yes,
the tension,
throbbing.
Sexual tension is building. She's
maybe touching
she's
her face.
Red because she's so hot for him. It's like a cartoon. She's just getting progressively
right.
redder. She's going to have steam come out of her ears.
Yosemite Sam status.
This goes on forever because it's like the sexual tension is building.
And so there's a scene, and we're going to just tell it like it is because we were just as confused as what we're going to tell you. Mm-hmm. But there's this young girl who keeps eyeing Bo Derek. And at first I was like, are they going to have like a lesbian love connection?
Oh, it looked like it.
But once you see this girl up close, she's much younger than you think. But this girl, once this handsome gentleman wins the bullfight, this young girl haps right down on the back of that horse. And rides off with him. And you're like, oh, it's his girlfriend or
something. We definitely
something.
Thought it was his girlfriend at first.
And regardless, we'll get to her in a minute, but just keep that visual in mind because Bo Derek's like, oh, who's that bitch on the back of that horse?
Yeah, so we think that she's going to have like some tension, like this is his girlfriend or whatever, and that they're going to be the ones fighting for his attention.
Well, I also thought that they might be lesbians because they kept looking at each other in this very weird, seductive way.
I think
way.
It was meant to be jealous, but it was definitely more homoerotic.
Yes,
for sure.
Definitely. So Bo Derek gets her little manic white girl claws out and she's like, who's that guy? Where is he going?
And she did just like, Cotton again.
Yes. And the guy she's with, the Spanish guy, he's like, oh, it's the one. And she goes, bye.
Yeah,
bye, Cat. Bye, Cotton.
I'll meet you later. Bye.
And they're like, bitch, left us again. First time in my home country with this crazy girl who's going to go stalk this guy that she knows nothing about. But so that's how crazy she is.
The way
that's
she tries kooky. To, she's so kooky. She decides to seduce him by, so she hunts him down, goes into the barn where the horses are.
I just wanted to say I've never seen anything so beautiful.
Nor have I.
Do you think it's possible? Could I see your horses?
With pleasure.
And she starts seducing a horse.
Oh, it's real awkward,
you
guys.
Also, the horse is the color of sand. I'm just throwing that out there.
Because she's got a freaking sand fetish.
I'm just telling you. So she's caressing the sandy horse.
Wait, hold on. Pause. Cadence's idea of a sand fetish is someone buying an hourglass and just tipping it upside down over and over on, I guess, maybe a naked body. No, you never really got that far.
In my mind, it was like not a closed one. Open. And then you're just slowly pouring sand. You know what I mean?
An opened hourglass?
Yes. In my mind, it was like a controlled.
Girl, where does that sand go? An open hourglass? What
That's
are you talking
what
about?
To say. In my mind, it was more of the vision
so,
of like.
So a jar filled with sand that you pour on somebody, not an hourglass. I was thinking Wicked Witch of the West, full giant red sand, like slopping it on somebody.
In my mind, it was. The controlled pour was like what I was trying to get at because he didn't want to like dump sand. So I thought if you like, take
you don't know
the
her,
little,
you don't know what gets her off.
Take the little end off thing and have it like slowly drip down.
Oh, I see what
you know
you
what
mean.
I'm saying.
Yeah,
because I was like, you don't want to just be like whoosh sand everywhere. So
they make those sand art things, those different color sand art. That's what they do, but it's like their foreplay.
Oh,
now
yeah.
Give me purple. I'm making a mountain.
That would be way more foreplay than happens.
Oh, what she does
in the movie. Okay.
So back to her seducing this sand-colored horse.
So she's stroking it. She's sweet-talking it. She starts kissing it and not in a way you should kiss a horse.
Oh, and she also sticks her pointer finger up
under
its teeth,
its
under its gums.
And strokes it.
You guys, it's real weird. Real weird. And the whole time she's, of course, being like giggly and being like saying all these sensual words like, I love horses and their muscles and the way they look.
And the sand-colored
get an hourglass. And he's kind of like, he's totally disinterested, you guys. He's like not, he's like,
irritated.
Okay.
Like, why are you molesting my horse?
Who's this American white girl coming and molesting my horse? That's absolutely his vibe from the second he sees her.
So it's clear she's not going to leave him alone. So he's like, hey, I've got dinner later. Do you want to come? She's like, yeah, but I have friends. And for the first time, she remembers they exist.
She's like, oh, I do have two friends.
So he's like, no, that's fine. Bring them. So she thinks it's going to be kind of like a cool, intimate dinner. No, it's him and like all of his little siblings. His mom's there.
His
whole
family.
She's there. Cotton's there. Cat's there. They're way across the table from each other. And Cotton the whole time is like right next to her being like, give him the eyes. Give him the eyes. Girl, give him the eyes. He needs that signal.
Her crazy bulged out over like full whites of her eyes, just staring. Cute, Bo Derek. Mm-hmm. Really cute. Every guy loves to see a full white wide stare from across the table as you touch your face. It's really sexy. So as Cadence said, they're at this dinner. And this is where the young girl that went on the back of his horse, she is at this dinner too. And it turns out that she is only 13. And
14.
When you... No, oh, she's going to turn 14. Remember?
Oh, that's right.
So she's 13 going on 14 because of some very bizarre stuff we're going to do later. And so then we're like, oh, this bitch is really young. And then you learn that she's young and she's like kind of obsessed with this guy.
She's in love with him.
But she's too young,
His
basically.
Name is Angel, by the way.
Angel.
Angel.
One thing we do want to mention is that, as Cadence said, the whole fam damily's there. And his mom is pissed. She's like, why did you invite these people?
You didn't have to invite them tonight. These are private moments for the family only. It's bad enough that gypsy child is always with you. We never have any time alone with you living in the country. You never come to the city.
And he's like, I don't know. She came up to me and stalked me, because he's kind of just over it. Like, I don't care. And this is where we learn where the 13-year-old child comes in. So she's a little gypsy girl that's like obsessed with this man.
That's what they call her. I know that it's,
I know
not,
it's not a good
politically
term,
correct.
She was
days,
a gypsy. And she kind of is obsessed with him. So she's always just kind of hanging around him. So he invited her too, because it's a big ol'. Mm-hmm. Big old thing.
And the mom says, she's like, it's bad enough you always have this little girl with you all the time.
Yeah, because you're a grown man and you have this 13-year-old girl following you around. It's real weird. So anyway, like we said, she's making really cute eyes from across the table.
Cotton's just cheering her on.
So yes, after the world's most awkward dinner and she's making eyes, she thinks this one's in the bag. Well, hot guy just gets up and goes. He's like, bye.
Totally.
Kisses all 14 of his brothers and sisters. Kisses the young gypsy child. And he's like, peace, guys. And Bo Derek's like, the hell? And Cotton's like, bitch, I guess you don't have it.
He's like, I thought the messages were clear, but I guess we all misread this situation.
We all drastically misread this. And that's what we're saying, you guys. This guy's so disinterested.
Uninterested.
He doesn't want to have anything to do with them, as you'll see in the next part of the story. Bo Derek, Kat, Cotton, they're all getting ready to go home for the night. But
the V-car gang.
The V-car gang, just traveling around that world, the International Nasty Girls. And as they're leaving, they see this young girl, this gypsy girl. What is her name? Mm-hmm. I think her name is, let's start calling her name. Call her by her name.
Oh, it's Nadia. No, that's the other one. What is her name?
Paloma?
Paloma.
Okay, so Paloma. Yes, Paloma is, we can't, you guys, we didn't even know the main character's names. That's why we keep calling her Bo Derek. We didn't, it's bizarre. So this girl's name is Paloma, so we will refer to her as Paloma from now on. So they see her in the alley, and Bo Derek seduces Paloma into tracking down the guy that left dinner.
Guess what she seduces her with? A mirror.
A little mirror, guys. And it's shaped like a little scallop.
Paloma's like so entranced by this mirror.
It's full.
Never seen anything so beautiful.
It's full Little Mermaid, you guys. Oh, it totally full is. Little Mermaid under the
dingle
sea mirror.
Hopper.
Yes, full dingle hopper. And it makes sense because she's 13, so she just loves it.
True.
And so she's like, I'll give you this. It's clearly made out of sparkly plastic. Which was, I guess, real hot in the 20s.
I get, yeah.
They did
you
not
know
get that from Walmart in the 80s.
They're like, just bedazzle it. It'll look
right?
totally natural.
You had one in your caboodle. I know you
I
did.
I probably did.
So she's like, oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you where I pretty much know he is. And she's like, great. Let's go stalk
yeah,
him.
I mean, let's just reemphasize. Twice he's just been like, I am uninterested. He leaves dinner without even formally saying goodbye to her face. He just gets up and leaves.
Yes.
And she pays this little girl the price of a mirror to hunt him down.
And he didn't even invite them to dinner. She invited herself and he was like, okay, he's completely disinterested. So the V gang, their kooky little car, it's like
car.
It's like Scooby-Doo. They're just like
they totally
going
are.
Down, it's going to solve the mystery. The little girl Paloma takes him to where he is actively having sex with his girlfriend in a hot spring.
Yeah, so it's there's like a river running next to it, because keep in mind this is the 20s, so it's not a hot tub, but it's like this little hot spring and they are kissing in the most aggressively unsexual mm-hmm, way. Mm-hmm.
Very
you
aggressive.
Could even
aggressive.
See it. And she's the cutest, like voluptuous, like curly red hair, like she's got that very like ruddy complexion, you know, like she looks really healthy and alive.
She's got that Natasha Lyonne, is that her?
Oh yeah, she does kind of
is that the
like
girl that
that
did the Russian doll.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of has that vibe,
but like
that,
a lot
yeah.
more kind of like voluptuous,
very voluptuous.
She's
girl.
Really cute. So anyway, they're sucking each other's faces off aggressively
as Cotton pulls up, brights on, headlights on, shining it on them. He's like, "The fuck is going on?" So Paloma runs out. Keep in mind, you guys, this girl's 13. She runs out and she's like, "Angel, Angel, the white rich lady, the white witch bitch." Now I'm talking like a weird accent. She's like, the white rich lady gave me this mirror to find you. And he's like, why the fuck did you bring him here, Paloma, you dumbass? And she's like, because I got a sparkly mirror.
Obviously, there's only one right answer, and it's a mirror. Come on. You would have done it, too.
And meanwhile, she's doing this, and Cotton and the gang are just sitting in the car, brights
they,
on, watching the
I
whole
mean,
sitch.
No one has batted an eye. They have headlights on and actively sexing a couple. And Cotton's just like, these shenanigans are getting crazier and crazier.
The things you girls get into.
So
at least turn off the headlights, Cotton. At least park the car.
At the very least. They're probably discombobulated. You know when you're looking at headlights
deer
and you can't
headlights.
See anything
tits
else.
Tits in the headlights. So, your tits just freeze.
They just like in My Dad Wrote a Porno. I don't know if it's been a while since you listened to it, but we just were finishing the newest season. But anyway, he thinks that nipples are like, they move like kind of autonomously. And so they always extend or they mm-hmm. move or they have a response system.
What does he write about the rivets of 4-inch whole they rivets were of as, the ill-fated Titanic?
Yes. That was like in the very first book. Yes. And now they're like antennae in the newest books. They catch signals. Like,
oh, wow. He didn't.
They can expand and retract.
Rocky Flintstone did not know much about.
I know. I'm like, how are you a whole grown man with kids and you think nipples retract and extend?
You guys, we love My Dad Wrote a Porno. That kind of was like what inspired us a little bit to do like a funny. It was kind of what started it all. It's really great. We love you guys. Have us on your show. Or you can maybe come on ours if we have the time.
I don't know. We have a very tight schedule. We got a lot of people lined up. So we'll see. So yeah. Anyway, that's what I was thinking. The headlights hit them and they just like extend. So they hop out of the hot tub. They were trying to like obviously run away.
They're angry as fuck.
Yeah, so she's also a gypsy, the one that he's having sex with in the hot springs. And she comes to the car and she is ready to absolutely throw down. Bo Derek is in big trouble. Big trouble.
You want to go to the bed with my man?
I don't think any of us want to go to bed with your man.
It's true.
Do I look so dishonest?
It's true.
I think your man is very beautiful.
You're so good. And do you want to take him to your bed?
I think
no. I'm the woman for his bed, and there will be no other. No other.
So as you can hear from that, this girl's angry.
She's definitely getting ready to kill someone.
And she also grabbed Bo Derek's face, and Bo Derek is like scared as shit. That rich bitch gonna die tonight. You don't mess with this girl. You do not mess with this girl.
I love how Cotton is literally sitting in the front seat just like completely non-reactive, doesn't try to intervene, doesn't try to calm her down. But he does say, like, she's like, do you want to sleep with my man? And Cotton's like, none of us do. And I'm like, Cotton, you drove them there specifically so she could.
What do you think is going on, Cotton? Come on. You've been around the block. You're old. You know what's going on.
Well, and you've been around the block with these ladies, so you know this block is specifically about sexing.
These shenanigans. So as you can see, this guy wants something to do with her, and she comes out and stalks him, and obviously gets turned down by his girlfriend.
Yeah, he doesn't even take the time to come over to talk to her in the car. His girlfriend's like, get out of here. He just hightails it into the cabin.
Slams the door.
Like, bye. Nothing. No bye. Signals. Nothing. Just like, please leave me alone. Clearly, over and over and over again.
So what do you think a rational response after this situation would be?
Well, I would crawl under a rock and die of humiliation.
Well, not me. I would go find out where he works, which is up in the mountains, riding, herding cattle, and I would take Cotton and McCrew, including a young gypsy girl, with me.
Right.
And I go up and find him at work when he's with his friends on a camping trip trying to ride bulls.
I'm guessing.
Round up bulls. I'm like confused. I keep saying ride, round up. That's what he's trying to do.
I think that maybe yours is a better plan. Like, mine was truly inferior.
What are you talking about? Like, keep your distance, stay away, pick up the
respect
signals.
Respect his wishes.
Respect his wishes. No, not if you're crazy, kooky Bo Derek.
You can get away with anything.
You're just so cute and cuddly. Just giggle and touch your face a little bit, and you can get away. So if you guys couldn't guess, that's exactly what she does.
She has Cotton drive the whole V-gang up into the mountains to just, they're hiding. Okay, first of all, they're the only car in the mountains. So hiding behind it serves zero purpose. It's not like there's a parking lot of cars.
No, they're like, there's a car. And it's like the Alps, you guys. Mm-hmm. They went from like cute Spanish, like Tuscan style village. I know it's Spain, but you get what I mean. To like this snow capped mountains. We're very confused.
Super,
and there's also
high
a beach
elevation
there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's like super out of place. And they're hiding behind it, waiting, I guess, for him to show up.
Mm-hmm. Because they heard, rumor had it around the village, that they had a loose bull running around in the mountains, that they had to come get it.
Him and his gang had to go
so
get that bull.
So she's like, clearly he's going to come retrieve the bull up here. Let's just wait it out.
Yeah, that
it's freezing.
That is so intensely nuts.
It's
that
so
is nuts.
Creepy.
And you guys, as we're watching this, we are also feeling as cringy as you are. We are like, this is not rational behavior. None of this makes sense. Mm-hmm. He hasn't even given her one clue. He hasn't even like winked at her.
Nothing.
She's stalking him. So sure enough, they find the bull. And of course, he kind of comes saves the day because the bull might charge their car. And then she tries to play it off like, oh, I just came up here because I want to buy one of your horses, because all of a sudden I really like horses.
Yes. She decides that that's how she's going to cover for this whole terrible plan.
I mean,
I actually just really love horses. I buy horses. I'm interested in horses. And I hear that you ride horses.
I didn't even know you were up here. I was
but
up here too.
That's so crazy.
We were just up here looking for horses. For wild horses.
We just totally just love to relax in the freezing cold Alps. Like, it's just something we do. It's so crazy that you're here. Horns, we have so much in common.
Yeah, because I guess I think the horses are the way to his heart, she thinks. That's why she'd like rub that horse's gums.
And even
she was ready. She was like gonna get all riled up.
I keep thinking of it. But here's the thing, even at this moment, he shows zero interest. He's like, I don't sell horses.
Yeah, he's like, bitch, I don't sell horses. Leave me the fuck alone. And she keeps pushing it. Well, what do you mean by sell? He's like, bitch, I don't sell horses.
Why don't we talk about that, honey colored horse?
I'm sorry, but I really don't sell horses.
Maybe the word sell is where we're having our problem.
Maybe.
She's like, well, what if I say ride? Well, what if I say look at? What if I say, it's just like every, and then she runs. She's like, I guess I've run out of reasons to see you. And he's like, yeah.
Leave me alone.
Bye.
But it doesn't stop there.
But you guys, you would think this is it, right? Nope.
Nope. Mm-mm. Her and Kat, her kooky friend, decide to go find him because, again, rumor around town is that Angel is at an opium lounge.
That's where he likes to spend some nights off. So, yeah, let's find him now. Let's go hunt him down. Also, the ethics of hunting someone down while they're high or, like, drugged and trying to seduce them while they're not. They've already said no several times.
Several times.
And then you're like, maybe this opium will butter them up a little bit. Maybe that's the key.
20s, it was a different time.
And so they're getting ready.
Mm-hmm. And the girls are talking about opium like I don't know, like today you would talk about smoking weed or something.
Yes.
I don't know. And they're just like, should we try it? And they're like, she's like, well, I read that large amounts of it make you die. But a little bit of amount is kind of like a love potion.
And they're like, I guess we need to do the love potion amount.
And I'm like, they just casually decide to do opium one night. Those girls are kooky.
They're so crazy. So they go to the opium den, and that's also where you think there's going to be a little bit of lesbianism. Like, it gets a little, they're just like really sensually, like, they're
yes, because they cannot find Angel. They can't find him. So mm-hmm. they get their own room, and they are just puffing
they're
at
wearing,
that.
Like, some sweet satin, and they're, like, touching their bodies, and they're like, oh, how do you feel? I feel amazing.
I mean, it makes opium seem like a real good time.
I know. I'm like, get me open laying around.
Hey, do you guys want to come over and do some opium? Again, that's just a batshit crazy thing to do. So they find him eventually at the opium den. After they get mm-hmm. high as kites, they start stumbling around this beautiful opium den. It's really nicely decorated,
it's very well done.
And also won by a beautiful Asian woman with a giant dragon tattoo on her face. Gorgeous.
I was real puzzled about that. And I could just be completely culturally unaware, but this beautiful Asian woman running the opium den in Spain has what looks like carnival face painting of a dragon over half her face.
Carnival face painting was huge in the 1920s in Spain.
It was a cottage industry.
She was at the fair earlier that day, like, I want to look kind of like mysterious, but also like I run an opium den. Give me your brightest colorful dragon all over my face, because it's not a tattoo. It is full face
paint. It's face paint for sure. So they find him.
And he's out, you guys.
And still a high opiumed out Angel is still like, please leave me alone.
And they're like, we just want to buy horses. He's like, bitch, I'll tell you for the last time. But he's like, what I will tell you is that I can sell you some goddamn wine.
I don't sell horses.
Only wine and how many bottles of wine would you say you had?
Maybe a million.
Nobody has a million bottles of wine.
If you really want to buy something from me, I will sell you some barrels of wine. Do we have a deal?
After their opium drugged out night, her and her friend Kat, Oboe, Derek, and Kat, keep in mind they just got out of, what is it? Foundation, what is it? The school. Prep school, what is it? Boarding school.
Boarding school.
So they're supposed to be, again, 18, 19, 21. Mm-hmm. And Kat's like, I have so much experience in this. Just buy all of his wine because you're a rich bitch. And then we'll make this business. And
Bo Derek's like, we'll make our own label and we'll open. Yeah. Like, we'll become wine connoisseurs and sellers. And
Bo Derek's like, yeah, that's a real good idea. Let's do it. So she sells it. The guy's like, great. I'm happy that I sold my wine. Go down to the bank. Tell me what it's
worth.
You're
done. Can you please leave?
Kat leaves. So Bo Derek's still with him. And she still pushes the horse thing. And he's like, I'm going to murder you.
Sell horses.
So then she's like, well, we got to figure out a way because I'm secretly obsessed with horses and I want to ride one. So she's kind of like trying to seduce him or whatever. And now he's happy. And they just bought like, I don't know, $4 million worth of his wine.
I mean, they're also probably still a little bit on opium, right?
Opium.
Because I was going to say opioid and then I know. Said opium.
Did they just like wake up the next day and like go for runs?
I don't think they even went to sleep. I think they just have been up all night. They're still going on.
You're
going to
sell all your wine, Angel, because these two crazy Americans come. Well, one crazy American comes and it's just the whole situation is bizarre. And I would just, as if I'm Angel, I'd be like, what is going on? Like, I'm so confused.
Where did you come from? Where did you come from? Why are you so enthusiastic about my horses?
Why are you stalking me in my opium den? I was just trying to get high and chill with the boys.
Yeah. It was boys' night out. Come on.
But he's also smart because they're dumb and they're going to buy all of his wine.
Yeah,
because
like at this point, I think, I mean, I'm making this up. I'm crediting his process to this, that he's like, okay, she's clearly not going to leave me alone. So the least I could get out of this situation is money. The very least. Mm-hmm. So he's like, okay, yeah, I'll sell you this wine. And then, so he's win. Like, he gets rid of her and he makes a ton of money in the process. That's what
I would hope. Yeah. After what, again, is like the fourth attempt to reject this woman, she finally gets her way and he agrees. Instead of selling her a horse, he's going to teach her to ride the sand-colored horse.
Oh, she rides that sand-colored horse, if you know what I mean.
So, again, she's just off riding horses with this dude, and she's making Kat do all the paperwork for the winery. Right. Cotton has to sit in with them. They're off. She's excited, though. Kat's excited. She's like, we really have a winery. She's taking it real seriously. But so Bo Derek, again, just won't leave this guy. She just ends up at his home that night. And she's in a kitchen with, like, the maid is in the background making food. And she's just propped up, drinking tea. And he comes in, and he's like, oh, my God. What are you doing here?
I mean, she has fully made herself at home.
You guys, she's fully crazy moved
she
in.
She just met this guy who said 10 times he doesn't want to have anything to do with her. And she's feeding his dog by hand.
Yes. And like talking to the maid like she's friends. Like they've been around forever. It is full nonsense. So he's like, oh, hi. And she's like, I just wanted to celebrate the winery and stuff. And he's like,
yeah,
oh,
so did I by myself.
By myself. It's late at night. I want to just, it's so weird. So he's talking to her. And as he's talking, fiery redhead from earlier, her name is Nadia, the girl he was making love to in the hot tub. She comes in and she is full like, this crazy white bitch, what's happening? Like, she's the only one that has any sense in this movie.
Right, like, is anybody else fully aware that this, we did not know this woman 2 days ago.
She literally starts yelling.
She's taking over the whole town.
Yeah, she's literally yelling like, who is this bitch? Like, why is she here? And we're like rooting for her. Mm-hmm. So Angel takes her out and he's like, don't you act like that again. And I guess
he gets real mean.
He gets real mean. And I think maybe this is a gypsy thing. I don't know. Because she keeps saying, well, now I have to kill you.
Maybe it's just a Nadia thing.
Maybe it's a Nadia thing. But I don't know. Because he was like, are you really going to kill me? And she's like, I'm going to get my knife and kill you. Yeah, and he's like, okay, get your knife and kill me.
She acts like it's a contractual agreement. Like, you broke the contract. That's what I mean. So I guess now we're going to have to die.
She makes it sound like a contract. That's why I say maybe it's like in that community and something.
So he's like, okay, if you're going to kill me, go ahead. Fine, get your knife. Are you really going to do this? And she's like, I guess you're right. You call my bluff. But he's
Well, actually, she just sat there crying, and then he shuts the door and leaves her in the front yard crying.
Right.
Which is real nice. Real.
He treats her terribly in front of Bo Derek. And Bo Derek, she's happy. You would think red flags would be flying. She'd be like, he seems like an abuser because he's like physically grabbing Nadia and telling her to shut up and telling her to knock this off. And he's like being really rough with her, like physically aggressive. But Bo Derek is smiling from ear to ear because she's like, got him. Got him. Instead of being like,
Nadia.
He seems a little intense.
Yeah, right.
This doesn't seem healthy.
She clearly doesn't think very good at all. Doesn't think good at all.
She don't think good.
So what we're going to do is we're going to get to the climax of this movie and what it's all about.
If you know what I mean.
What you mean. But we're going to hit some topics that are kind of gross, but keep in mind, this is the movie. It's bizarre and disgusting, but we're going to touch on that. And then we're going to get to the main point.
We're going to touch on that. And they're going to touch on that.
Then we're going to give you some funny little anecdotes after.
Antidotes.
Anecdotes
are like for poison.
I was thinking like You guys are poisoned.
The movie is poisonous, so yeah. We do need antidotes.
So this is where we have a conversation
poison where my brain.
Angel changes his mind. And guess what it takes to change Angel's mind about this whole crazy white girl, single white femaling his whole life?
Shenanigans left and right. The thing that turns Angel from being like, leave me the hell alone, to, yes, I'm very interested, is Bo Derek saying, I tried to give a guy my virginity in Morocco and it didn't work.
It was my little gift.
Would you at all be interested in doing this? Oh my God. He goes complete 180. He's like, I'm absolutely interested in that gift. Yes. Let me get ready.
Yes. So he's like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. Meet me at 6 a.m.
Right.
He's in this bedroom, which is a sunrise.
And then he locks her in. He puts her in a bedroom. He's like, I will be back when the sun rises at 6. Just stay here for the night. No food, no jammies, nothing.
Locks her in a room. But then get this. He goes to a spa. You guys, we're not making this shit up. He goes to a spa and falls asleep.
Think of a steam sauna. He's in the steam sauna and he tells his maid, I think I'm just going to sleep here tonight. And I'm like, in a steam wood sauna.
Yep.
It's so weird.
So then he basically leads her on because the maid wakes up and he's like, bitch, you're supposed to go take that crazy white girl's virginity at 6. And he's like, oh shit, it's 10.
Yeah, the maid is like, go get your virginity. So not
only does he tell her he's going to take her virginity, wait till 6 o'clock in the morning when I return to do it. He then stands her up and sleeps in the sauna.
She's so excited she doesn't sleep all night. So there's a montage of her like taking a bath and sitting by the fire.
And trying on helmets and shooting a pistol. Mm-hmm. So then he comes, he eventually gets to her, and she's dressed as a ghost.
She put the sheet over her head and she's got a knight's armor cap on. And she's being kooky, you guys.
She's not at all mad that he didn't show up at 6 and she's been waiting horny all night. She's not like other
girls. She hasn't had any food.
No food. She's just delirious, dressed as a ghost. It's a bizarre scene. Anyway. What happens next is kind of the climax of the movie.
If you know what I mean.
Her and Angel have sex. But is it ecstasy?
Close.
Close. I mean, she's having a real... Close. Awkward time, I guess, by her facial expression. She's either hating it, confused, forgot the laundry. There's a multitude of things going through our head when we watch this total pubic hair bumping scene.
Okay. So he goes, can I kiss you? She says, no. Let me kiss you, but it's going to be a different kind of kiss. So she has him lay down naked on his stomach. With his head, like, kind of to the side, his ear exposed, she...
Hawks a loogie in his ear,
you guys. Puts a spit bubble in his ear and then tongues his ear hole. And she goes, I guess that was a different kind of kiss.
And he's like, what is with this girl?
And all he... You can tell in the back of his mind, he's like, it's going to be worth it. I'm taking her virginity. It's going to be worth it.
So then, as Cadence said, they never kiss. Fellatio or cunnilingus, nothing.
Okay, so
he just goes straight for pen.
Let me just say this, okay? She goes, can you show me everything you know? And I immediately said, this guy knows one pump. That's it. That's all he knows. You can just tell from looking at him. And you guys, I was right. No Lacanza, no foreplay, no sensual touching, no sexual tension being built up whatsoever. It's immediate penetration. And I can't tell you how many minutes of pubics rubbing together.
So close many up pubic hair rubbing together. Get. It's so nasty. And they try to make it seem sensual. But keep in mind, he hates her. This is contractual. He fell asleep in a sauna. So obviously he didn't care too much about it. And they're trying to make it sensual. Her hair is blowing. She's on the end of the bed. The music's intense. But it's like they're not kissing. They never kiss.
There's no intimacy whatsoever.
But she's, I guess, into it. Again, we don't really know because her face is bizarre.
If we could post the initial thrust, I would. But Instagram probably won't let us.
Probably not.
But it's timed with a very intense, like, drum crescendo.
Oh, it's intense.
It's very intense. So they just hump for what feels like forever. And guess what, guys? That's all it takes. She's like, you know what? I don't need to go anywhere else around the world. I don't need to meet anyone else. I don't need to sex anybody else. This is it. I'm locking it down. That's what we're
saying. It's kind of the movie, you guys. She went on a sexcapade around the world, ended up only going to 2 countries, and is batshit crazy stalking the first guy that penetrated her for 2 minutes, didn't kiss her, nothing. So you got it. That's the movie. Let's just say that that's basically it. Well, it ends there, but does it? We're going to give you a few little things that happen.
It should have ended there.
It should have ended there. All right, so she's dickmatized. He's like, meh. But that's like we said, that's where it should have ended.
If anybody involved with this movie were thinking, clearly, yeah.
She found her ecstasy. She's gone. Go back to wherever you're from and live out as a rich bitch the rest of your life. No, after this, she still sticks around and he's like, shit, now this virgin is sticking around. Well, not virgin anymore. Sticking around my damn house. I thought she was on an international nasty tour.
She's full on, like, moved in.
She's making herself real
she's
at home.
She's not staying at an inn or a hotel or anything.
So one day she's stalking him at work as he's bullfighting and he gets into an accident and a bull stabs. Guess what?
He gores him.
Gores his peen.
In the groin.
Gores his little peen. Oh. And it's a real funny scene because there's a point when it gores him and he's in like the hospital kind of thing. And she's, of course, touching her face.
There's
and she's like,
the doctors are like ripping his clothes.
And you think it would be really dramatic. And she's like, is everything okay? And he's like, yeah, it's fine. And she's like, are you sure? And he's like, take my dog home.
Take Mary home.
Do what?
The dog, Mary, take her home. I'm all right. Fine.
He literally just asked her to take the dog home.
And it seems like it should feel more frantic, but it's actually very chill. Don't worry about it. Just got gored in the peen. My ball sack's detached. It's not a big deal.
Hanging on that bull's horn. It's still dangling. The bull's like, I got you guys. Did my job. So he starts getting real down and depressed because he doesn't have any more manhood, right?
Well, or it's broken. I mean, I think they saved it.
Yeah.
But it's just malfunctioning.
Because now the movie took a twist. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. He starts acting a little depressed because he can't, you know, work his manhood. And so Bo Derek, after knowing him for maybe 3 days and stalking him, mm-hmm. she asks him to marry her. And she mm-hmm. says, it doesn't matter if your ween doesn't work anymore. This marriage will work. I guarantee it. And gives a thumbs up uh-huh. as she walks out.
She also doesn't say no. So she does propose, but she's not saying this marriage will work. She says, that thing will work again.
Oh,
I guarantee it.
I was taking it as like a romantic, like this will work. But yes,
no,
Cadence is right.
That thing. And then points at it and then gives a thumbs up.
Real cool. I'm sure he loved seeing that.
He was like, you know what? That pep talk definitely did the job. I'm good.
So the rest of the movie is just her trying various bizarre acts to get this guy who hates her's dick up because a bull gorged it. That is no honest to God the truth. That is the rest of this fucking batshit movie.
An hour of her trying to cure his impotence.
And he hates her.
So mad.
And she's sitting there talking with Cotton, like, oh my gosh, he hugged me the other day. He showed me some kind of affection. Like, it's so weird.
Everybody's like constantly worried about when they will have sex again. It's the whole house is preoccupied with when this guy's dick is gonna get hard again. And then even at one point, Cotton goes, they're all drinking around the table, like kind of morosely. And he's like, well, this is a really strange visual that we're all gathered for. Because the visual is, when are they going to do it again? It's
yes.
so weird.
Well, Bo Derek calls them all together.
14-year-old girl, cat.
14-year-old everyone makes them sit at sunrise because it's like she's mm-hmm. trying to get this guy. So that's what the rest of the movie is. So we'll just highlight a few of the key points. Well, first, you think that sheik that fell asleep on her stomach after he got stomach punched is done? You think his storyline is up?
Oh, no. Just when you forgot about him.
Just when you forgot about him for no reason, no explanation, no follow-up, a bunch of his goons come and kidnap her from Angel's house, which he's probably real happy about.
How did they find? I don't know. It's 1920. How did he find her?
I don't know. Kidnap her. The sheik tries to take her away on a plane. They get up in the air.
Flying over the ocean.
Jumps out of his plane.
She goes, I'm so flattered that you kidnapped me. That's super sweet. He's like, well, I still want to take your virginity. She's like, bad news on that front.
Sorry, bud. There's something we got to talk about.
I appreciate your enthusiasm. Already taking care of that problem. I'm actually just going to go if that's okay. And she just jumps over
you guys,
the plane.
We're not into fucking kidding. She jumps out of the plane into the ocean. The next scene is her braiding her hair in the back in Angel's house. No, like what? Who the fuck was that?
She jumped.
How did you get home? How is your body not broken and dead? This is a 1920s plane, too. You know it's clacking around. Yes. It was already so hard. And nobody asked a fucking question. And the little girl, Palermo, she's like, is it because you're... did I say Palermo? Oh, I've got Anthony Palermo on my mind. You're like, Paloma. She's like, is it because you're a rich bitch? And that's all done. That's said and done. No more chic.
Yeah, it's so weird. The whole thing is just so weird. So anyway.
So then she decides that she's going to try to now different techniques that she might have read in Cosmo. How to get your man's limp 100%. Bull ripped dick up. One of the ways she thought is to bring a bird cage full of parrots into his room.
Yeah, they're not parrots. They're like parakeets. They're like smaller birds.
Smaller birds.
There's maybe 10 to 12 birds.
There's a little more fluttering with little small birds, probably.
10 to 12 birds in this little bird cage.
She takes it in and she accidentally unleashes all the birds on his penis and then runs out of the room.
And she laughs. She thinks she's the most clever human being ever. She thinks that birdies flapping their baby bird wings near his crotch is going to arouse him. That's her plan.
It's bizarre. So then her second plan, well, she tries a bunch of little finagly things. One thing she does is get her hair wet and slaps her wet hair all over his peen.
That's my go-to.
Then she decides that she's going to show him that she loves him and she's going to get his dick working by becoming the man in the relationship.
Wait a second. You forgot something.
What?
Very erotic. When she rides naked,
she tells
him to meet her at the bullfighting pit. She's got a surprise for him. He gets there. She is bareback on a horse, buck naked. So much UTI, so much bacteria, so much yeast infection. All that hair.
Not to mention just prickly horse hair in your vaginal lids.
It hurts me to think about it. That rubbing. Oh, no. So she's riding around also in like a real sandy.
Of course. She's on that sandy horse.
Real sandy, like bullfighting pen. And he's like, what are you even doing right now?
Oh, yeah. He actually leaves the bullpen and without saying anything to her.
She's like, you're a hard man to seduce. And we're like, his penis is physiologically broken, and you're taking it like he just does not want to have sex with you.
Also, yeah, and you asked him to marry you. You should have seduced him before the marriage proposal, Bo.
Yeah.
You're so dickmatized. She's just ready to get ridden again.
I mean, that sweet, sweet no kiss hump was
nothing. Just hump me and go. She's horny as hell. Oh, and then one minor thing happens after all this. You remember Nadia, right? The one that was going to kill Angel. Mm-hmm. She makes the saddest attempt to try to kill Bo Derek in the sauna. Has a little tiny knife, and she goes, aah!
The baby is like an oyster shucking knife.
Yes, it's like an oyster shucking knife. And she literally opens the door, and they scream, and then just push her down and lock her in a closet. And you never see from her again. She's still locked in that closet, I think.
They do it topless, which is the most important part.
All three topless women.
It's a topless knife fight.
And they lock her in a closet.
Never see her again. Happens.
And so you think somewhere. She would have been like, hey, you're crazy extra to kill me, but they don't ever talk about it.
She doesn't even mention it to Angel.
Because she's got so much on her mind. She's busy trying to get that dick up.
She's like, what else could I do? So, maybe its little knife would come in handy. What can I do?
So then she, tries to become the man in the relationship. She learns how to ride and bullfight, and she's going to like carry this, and hopefully that will get him up because he's a bullfighter and that's his job.
She starts wearing his clothes and becoming a matador.
It's a whole thing. So fucking kooky. Anyway, it's all leading up to the big night.
She's trying to reenact the first night they were together, remember? So she says, meet me at sunrise, exactly what he told her.
That's right.
Right? So he's in bed, same bed that she was in. She comes in a robe and a hat, smoking a cigarette, exactly like he did. Comes in, tries to kind of reenact what happened. And wants to whisper in his ear / lick it like she did the first time. But guess what? He bites her ear very vigorously because he's angry. He's like, why are you trying to make me hard? And then she's like, oh, you want to taste my blood?
Yep. Then he suckles on her bloody ear and she makes an orgasm face as he's doing it. So then he bites her ear again and she gets mad. That's too bad.
Too much.
Snaps him on the nose, goes and runs by the fireplace, pouts for a minute. He's got a physical injury, bitch. Mm-hmm. You can't just do these weird things. It's not like
it's
you
not
said.
An ego thing.
It's not an ego thing. A bull gorged his penis in half. Like, bitch, you need to learn a thing or two about the human body.
It's still Frankenstein stitched together.
It's all Frankenstein together, limped over, and she's still thinking that, like, tickling it with her little fingernails is going to get it. But anyway, guess what happens? That works. All of a sudden, he gets hard.
She's magic.
She's magic, and they have sex, and it literally, you guys, they have sex. The room turns foggy, neon pink, and then a big neon sign in the background that spells ecstasy with an X.
Neon lights.
And Katie and I are like, oh my gosh, it's like a metaphor. Like, this is happening. And no, she turns around and points to the sign and she goes, X, with her fingers. And we're like, what the fuck is going on?
It's 1920s Spain. And that's how she experiences ecstasy, is a freaking neon light in a foggy room.
After days of trying to get her husband's bull torn up penis to work.
They're not married yet.
Oh yeah, they're not married yet.
Because they have a night of ecstasy, which also, by the way, lasts for so
long. This is what you're building up to. This was the softcore porn, so just hours of sensual long. And he kisses her for the first time.
Oh, he does.
But it's like kind of a weird pecking motion.
Yeah, it's not sensual at
all. So after all of this, that's when they decide to actually get married. And the movie ends with them getting married.
Oh, you know what? It does, but God, I just remembered. Damn it. What?
I was just remembering this whole movie and I'm so mad. Oh, I hated this movie.
Just flashback.
I don't know why it got such bad reviews.
I don't know. Excellent storytelling.
Great storytelling. Flawless. No loopholes, no nothing.
So, in case you were wondering, because the deal was that Kat and Bo Derek were going to lose their virginity, there is a side plot where they try to wrap it up and they try to give Kat like her own sweet moment. So the Scottish lawyer that we meet in the very beginning.
Oh, the very beginning, yeah.
Somehow he pops up in Spain. Still not 100% sure how information is being exchanged.
No explanation as why
he's
there.
So he shows up. He runs into Kat. She's like, hey, it's so funny that I see you here. I need a lawyer. I just started a winery we bought from this dude. Do you want to help me with all the paperwork? He's like, yes, I do.
No, she only says that after she asks him what's under his kilt. And if she then giggly like tries to look under his kilt to see his penis and then says, do you like virgins?
Okay.
Then she asks him if he wants to help her. Get okay, it right, so Cadence. First. Duh.
She's like, let me see what you got going
She's
on over there.
She's not a monster. She knows how to do conversational skills.
She's not a monster. So, yeah, she really wants to see what's under his kilt. She asks what every normal woman asks. Do you like virgins? Which, as we've learned from this movie,
everybody loves a virgin.
Everybody does.
Oh, and Cotton ends up getting with the maid of Angel's house.
Yep.
And so it's kind of everyone's just this happy, sexed up little family that lives together in Spain. Now, we assume.
Yeah, I mean...
Until Bolero 2 comes out, which
not
I'm...
Not Nadia, Paloma. She's like kind of their adopted kid now.
Yeah, who has a weird crush on her dad.
Yeah, it gets a little dicey, but...
Palermo. Palermo. I was going to say the movie. Bolero. What can you say?
Bolero just did... You know what? They forged a path that no one ever went before and no one will ever go again. And that is something you can say for this movie.
And
that
as
is
they
something you can say.
Ended the movie, we're sitting there like, that was not an international sex... Capade. You literally went to two countries and had sex with one man.
And then wanted to marry that dude after the first time.
That is the opposite of an international nasty girl sex capade journey. It was so, and we were boggled. I mean, we were literally like, that was one of the worst, hands down one of the worst movies I've ever. Pennies from Heaven was batshit, like Showgirls, all those movies are, but at least there's like some kind of cohesive like understanding of why the characters are doing what they're doing. Like, I mean, Showgirls was a little scattered, but this just, the characters, none of them had any real, they were all just like, no one talked. Yeah, they were characters. There was no character development. No one talked. There was no chemistry or romance or building. It was just bizarre, the whole thing.
And then I couldn't, like I said earlier, I couldn't ever really wrap my brain around her as like this cutesy little 18 to 21 year old girl, because I'm like, this is a mother of three who's on vacation.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I kept viewing her as full mom of three.
My brain just couldn't quite ever fully invest in the story because it was so disconcerting. And then we found out that the director was Bo Derek's husband at the time, John Derek. And so I was like, that makes way more sense now, all things considered.
I don't know. Is that weird going on in their sex life?
That he did her a favor. That, like, he gave her this role.
Yeah, yeah.
Because clearly she was
even
overqualified, if you know what I mean.
She was. Even Angel was, like, maybe 20. Was he?
Yeah,
like
he
22.
Looked really young. She by far.
And
that's
the Sheik
thing.
Looked really young. And again, you guys, she's beautiful, gorgeous woman.
Yes.
It's nothing wrong with being older. But
it
you
was just
cannot
in contrast.
Play you're not being 36 and playing like an 18-year-old. It just doesn't
and
work.
They cast and a flirty, all the other giggly, people younger.
Yeah, so and everyone else around her is younger. Yes.
If they would have just cast them all roughly in the same age range, you could have suspended disbelief. But no, it was like her age in contrast with everyone else, and then her.
She's like the mom.
As an old woman trying to look like a cutesy teen and putting me like hands on your face. It was. Odd. It was so odd.
I think the most odd thing was just her mannerisms. That's what got me the whole movie. Just yes, the bizarre face touching, everything erratic. She was very Nomi. She had a very Nomi energy.
Oh, she did have a very Nomi energy. Nomi at the club. 100%. Nomi at the club.
Like, it was nuts. Yeah, so did you guys enjoy that? Did you guys enjoy this episode? Sorry about that.
I mean, just consider yourselves lucky you didn't have to visually experience it.
But you're going to visually experience a few of those clips. There's no way.
There's so much
we
can't put on Instagram because it wouldn't be appropriate, but we'll do whatever we can to bless you as much as we can. But man, you guys, I was so glad we took a risk and saw something we hadn't seen before, but I'm also I'm kicking myself because I'm gonna be haunted by some of the things I saw in this movie for the rest of my days.
And the thing was,
that
it was,
honey is at the top of the list.
Oh, that honey punch stomach punching thing was bizarre. And also, like, it was kind of high budget. I know it's the 80s, but I mean, they're in different countries, the costumes, like,
no, you can it tell had that
the
it
potential
had
to be
budget.
Like okay, but no, so bad. Whoever wrote it just had this fantasy of, I don't know, it was bad. Anyway,
crotches.
Hope you liked it.
I had a fantasy of crotches. That's what I'm going to say.
And sand and hourglasses. All right, guys. Until next time, think about that one.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
That gives me a nasty idea.
We're tired of sitting home while the guys have all the fun. So we're getting on a plane, gonna show them how it's done. Flying international with one thing on my mind. And it's not the type of thing you find in a travel guide. Not looking for art museums, not looking for mausoleums. This ain't the trip to see them.
Welcome to another episode of Bruh, It's a Podcast. Every week we convince you why you shouldn't hate millennials.
Best TV series of all time is Breaking Bad.
Game of Thrones.
Anything that's not the two of those. The best series of all time is 24. Wake up.
My love language is gifts because I love when women pamper me.
You also, bro, love languages are stupid. I don't have language. Speak to my penis.
I don't know who Sade is.
You should be shot in your face.
I still don't know who Sade is.
The finest female singer of all time has to be Jennifer Lopez.
Whoa!
Yeah, if you take singer out of it.
Check us out Thursday. Find us on Instagram at Bruh, It's a Podcast.